Hey everyone, and welcome to the newest episode of the Sleek Lens Photography Podcast. This is Jordan. Thank you for joining me with this episode. In this one, I'm going to talk about a topic that is talked about a lot a few years ago, and it's kind of died down. And that led me to kind of think about, is HDR photography dead? And so I'm going to kind of go over kind of a brief little introduction of what HDR photography is. And then I'm going to talk about whether that technique is dead or not. And so real quick, first of all, for those of you who don't know, there is a term out there called HDR, and it stands for high dynamic range. And when people say HDR photography, usually they're meaning a technique of blending photos. But HDR photography is kind of a term that basically talks about how your camera handles extreme light situations and extreme dark situations in the same scene. So basically what I mean by that is if you go out and you go into a bright sunny day and you were to set your camera to a neutral exposure, so where your light meter is right at zero, so that's what your camera thinks is a perfect neutral exposure, and you take a photo, depending on the kind of camera model you have, you're probably going to see that there are going to be spots that are extremely blown out, they're extremely bright, and then you're going to see other parts that are extremely dark. And so if you have really bright situations and your camera can't handle that, then your camera might not be good at a dynamic range. Same with the darks. If you take a photo and you see that your darks are almost on the black side, then your camera can't handle that dynamic range very well. There are some cameras out there that can handle dynamic range way better than other camera brands or models. And so what this basically means is the camera can handle really dark situations, really dark areas of a photo, and lighter areas of that same scene, and you still get detail in those areas instead of them just blowing out or being completely lost and having no data. And so there are some cameras right out of the box that handle dynamic range very, very, very well, and you really don't have to use any certain technique to try to bring some of that back. Sure, if you bring the photo into Lightroom or Photoshop and you bring down the highlights and increase the shadows, you're probably going to get a little bit more detail there. But these camera brands and these camera models, some of them typically have a very awesome dynamic range. And this is especially helpful for landscape photographers who may be shooting in a bright situation and they want to still have detail in some sort of foreground element, something like that. Or real estate photographers who want to capture the inside of a home and not blow out the windows, because typically inside the home is a little bit darker than the outside. And so you can probably handle that a little bit better with some of these camera models. So just a general idea, the Nikon D810, the D800E, the D750, and even the Fujifilm XE1 is actually, those are some really good cameras that actually have very, very awesome dynamic range. And I'm not trying to single out Canon or anything like that. These are the cameras that have kind of been rated to have really, really, really awesome dynamic range. And you can see that Nikon typically handles some of that better than other camera brands. The new Canon 5D Mark IV, that also handles dynamic range a little bit better than some of its predecessors, but it does a really good job. But Nikon typically has really good dynamic range, as well as low light noise. It handles that really, really well. And so the slogan for most of the camera brands when it comes to Nikon versus Canon is usually Canon can handle dynamic range and low light situations a little bit better than Canon, but Canon really has that awesome looking color that for some reason Canon's always associated with color. And so I know there's going to be a lot of arguments about that, but going back and forth, because that's one of those age-old questions, is which is better. But really, there is no better camera. It's just whatever works for your type of photography. And so those are just some camera brands and models to kind of think about if you're looking for a camera that has really good dynamic range. Now, just because you might have a camera that doesn't have good dynamic range and it can't handle that very well, doesn't mean that you can't capture that. You just have to go through a couple different steps in order to get a really good dynamic range. And that's where the whole HDR photography movement kind of came. And what basically that means is, for those of you who haven't shot HDR or not really sure how to do it, you're basically shooting the same scene with the same settings minus the shutter speed. And so what you would typically do is set your tripod up with your camera there, and you would maybe take a scene at, let's say, F8, ISO 100, and then you would change your shutter speed accordingly to try to get a darker photo, a neutral exposure, and a bright exposure. That's the basics of HDR. Sure, there's a lot of different ways you can take HDR when it comes to getting maybe seven images, 10 images, you know, all kinds of different series of images. But typically, the HDR is technically going for three different exposures. And so a lot of cameras actually have bracketing where you can do an automatic bracketing where the camera will automatically take the shots at a maybe two stops underexposed, a neutral exposure, and two stops overexposed. Or you can do it manually by dialing in the shutter speed yourself and just looking at maybe the histogram to try to give you a better idea of how the photo will turn out. But that is the basic idea for setting up your HDR photograph if you're wanting to do an HDR photograph where you run it through some software. So one quick thing before I move on to kind of the typical software that's used for HDR photography is I've noticed that a lot of people, when they kind of start getting into HDR photography and, you know, they're trying to handhold it, sure, you can kind of manipulate that in software and do a little bit of deghosting, but you kind of really want a tripod for this if you can. Because that way everything is stable, it's neutral, and you don't have to increase your ISO. I've seen a lot of photos that are very, very noisy HDR photos, and this is probably one or two things. Maybe they're dialing in more of the exposure compensation than they should, where they're trying to increase the shadows and decrease the highlights way too much, maybe. Or they have an HDR photograph that they're trying to shoot and they have a relatively high ISO. A lot of people think that just because your camera might handle ISO better, your noise better than some cameras, you don't really have to worry about the ISO performance of your camera when it comes to HDR photography. But you really need to keep your ISO as low as it can go. This is mainly due to the fact that when you run your photos through the HDR program, whatever program you're going to use, it kind of amplifies the noise a little bit. So even if you have, maybe your camera can shoot a low ISO at 100, even if you go to 200, you're going to still see a little bit of a noisy image. Again, depending on the camera model, you're going to see a little bit of a noisy image because your camera is kind of amplifying that a little bit when it runs through the software. So speaking of software, let's kind of roll into that as well. There's a bunch of different HDR software. I'm sure if you go into Google right now and type HDR software, you're going to find a lot of different pieces of software that claim to be really, really awesome at doing HDR. Some of the four top kind of HDR programs that a lot of people do use are obviously Photoshop. Photoshop has a built-in HDR feature. Lightroom has a built-in HDR feature as well. There's a program called Photomatix. That one's been around for a very long time, and I've actually used that. That's the first HDR program that I think I actually ever used. And then they also have a newer one called Aurora HDR. That one's also a good one as well. If I had to rank all of those, seeing which one is the best software to do HDR photography with, I would have to go with Lightroom. There's a few reasons why I like having my HDR photos in Lightroom. And number one, it's because you're dealing with raw files right out of the gate. That's a very important thing when it comes to HDR photography. You can do it with JPEGs, you can do it with TIFFs, but when you're using the raw file, you're giving the program a lot more information to deal with, and ultimately you're going to end up with a better photo in the end anyway. But also, you're doing your whole process start to finish in one program, and you have all of the awesome capabilities that you would normally have if you were just editing a single photo. And that's being able to catalog your images, being able to edit and go back and do non-destructive editing to it. It's not as cumbersome as, say, it would be into Photoshop, where you would have to import it into Photoshop as a script, and then open the file in there, open it in Photoshop, play with Photoshop, and try to get the best image. And then having to save the PSD, but then, you know, you might need to go back into the camera raw filter to make more edits, and it becomes a mess. But Lightroom really does a fantastic job of making an HDR photo that actually doesn't look like it's an HDR photo. And that's kind of the whole goal, I think, nowadays when taking an HDR photo, is you don't want to make it look like it was ran through a program and just automatically generated this file and you kind of made some adjustments. You want to make it look like a very natural photo because that's kind of what it's all about. It's not applying really awesome looking, you know, grungy effects to a photo. It's about making a photo that has a very good dynamic range where you can still see a lot of the bright areas and also bring back a lot of the darker areas. Now, I mentioned the program called Photomatics. I used to use that one again, like that was the first program that I actually used to try to do HDR. And that's, I think, not putting the blame on this piece of software, but that software, there's a bunch of filters in that software, and I think that's probably where HDR kind of gets a bad rap, because there's a lot of filters in there. One of them is called, I think it's Paintly or something along those lines, where you can just click that and it makes a really look like artistic looking painting effect to your photos. And I think people saw that and they were like, oh, this is some new looking photo that we've never seen before. So I'm going to share this and see how it looks. And, you know, originally probably it looked really awesome because it was something different, something new that we've never seen before. And so everybody just kind of ran with it. And all of a sudden everybody's HDR photos looked exactly the same. They all had this painterly feel to the photo. And so that's kind of where it kind of got a bad rap. I feel I don't think you can really edit one of those today and people say, wow, that looks really crazy. They're going to be like, oh, that looks like an HDR photo. And so when it comes to HDR photography nowadays, I think a lot of people want it to be an HDR photo, or if their camera doesn't handle dynamic range well, they want it to be an HDR photo, but they want to make it not look like an HDR photo. That's kind of my whole goal when I'm trying to capture a scene with a lot of dynamic range, is to make it not look like an HDR photo at all. So now, one quick trick when it comes to HDR photography is, I mentioned earlier that you kind of, when you set up to do an HDR photo, you take three different photos. You have three different files that you run through this piece of software. You can actually do this with one single image as well. It's not going to get you the same result as if it had three different raw files to deal with. But you can actually do this with one raw file, and it just takes a little bit extra work. But again, the quality is not going to be exactly the same. But I have done this on occasion when I was in a bind, and I needed to have a little bit of more dynamic range. And it definitely helps a little bit, but not as much as obviously having three separate files to deal with. So the way to kind of do it with one image is to actually take the raw file and drag it into, I like to use Camera Raw for this example, just because it's a quick in and out program. I'll drag the image into Camera Raw, and I'll take the neutral exposure, and I'll maybe do a little bit of adjustments to it, maybe do the highlights and the shadows, kind of, you know, increase the highlights or decrease the highlights, increase the shadows, and maybe do a little bit of vibrance, nothing major, just slight adjustments to it. And then I'll save that file as a TIFF file. Then I will keep that file open and do the same thing with that file, except I'll leave all the settings that I just made, but I'll take the exposure and maybe knock it down one or two stops, depending on how deep I want to go with the shadows. And so I'll drag it down there, and I'll save another TIFF file, and then I'll take the exposure and bump it up to one or two stops overexposed and save that as another TIFF file. So technically now I have three files to deal with. And the reason I'm doing TIFF files and not JPEGs is because I want something that's totally uncompressed that will help the quality of the photo. Again, it's not going to be as great as three originally images started. But it will help the image quality a little bit. If you do a JPEG, you're going to have a very compressed version of what you had before. And that's when you start to see noise and ghosting and defringing and stuff like that. So, if you're going to do this technique, definitely do a TIFF file. And then I'll take those TIFF files and run it through an HDR program like Photoshop or Lightroom or Photomatics or something like that. I'll run it through that program, and then I'll try to adjust it from there. If you're in a pinch and you're not getting the same results as you would if you were editing that one file altogether, this could be a way to get some stuff back. But again, this is when I would only use it in kind of like an emergency situation if I really needed something that looks really, really HDR-ish or bring back a little bit of detail. I would only do it then. But definitely, if I'm going out to shoot an HDR photo, you definitely need to have three individual photos. So now that we've kind of gone over what HDR is, now we need to talk about, is HDR photography dead? And my short answer for this, I probably could have started the podcast off with just this answer, but I would say no. And the reason I say that is because it's not really like it's the same as it was. It's kind of evolving a little bit. And what I mean by that is, what it seems to be is, people are totally okay with doing HDR photography if it's done in almost a manual way. And so what I mean by that is, maybe you are taking three separate photos, but you're not running it through a program. Maybe you're taking those three separate photos, editing them a little bit, and dragging all of those photos into Photoshop and manually blending them in with layer masks and all this kind of stuff. That is what HDR photography seems to be. You're capturing more data for three separate images or five separate images or whatever it could be. You're capturing more data and then manually blending those in. I think a lot of people will respect that a little bit rather than running it through a program. But that's what it tends to be now. So if you've ever heard of manual blending, that's kind of how it goes with that. Is maybe you have you're blending a bright sky and a dark foreground. What you would do is, you know, take an exposure where the sky is perfectly exposed, and then not worry about the foreground at all, and then worry about the foreground in the next photo, and then just throw those into Photoshop and mask them out and blend them together. That's kind of what's being considered okay now when it comes to high dynamic range photography. So those are my thoughts on HDR photography. I would love to know your thoughts. Make sure you join the Facebook page, the Members Club page, if you are a member of ours, and join our page there. I will leave links in the description down below. So I would love to hear your feedback on this podcast and your perception of HDR photography. Do you like it? Do you hate it? All of that. I would love to hear that. So thank you guys for joining me in this episode. Make sure you use the coupon code SLEEKLENSPODCAST, all one word, and you will get 10% off anything in the online store at sleeklens.com. Got a lot of cool stuff over there, so I hope you guys check that out. But this has been Jordan for Sleek Lens, and I will see you in the next podcast.